Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Black Label presents Heavy Montreal, the heaviest festival in Canada. Back for a 10th edition. 2 days of rock and metal. July 27th and 28th, outdoors at Parc Jean Drapeau. Witness Slayer perform their last show in Quebec ever. Performances by Ghost, Godsmack, Evanescence, Slash, Anthrax, Steel Panther, Killswitch Engage, and many more. 40 bands playing 4 stages on a festival site that you have to see to believe. Festival passes are on sale now. Visit HeavyMontreal.com. Produced by Avenco.
Hi, I'm Mark Striegel, host and producer of this show since 2005. On this episode, we're going to talk some rock, some metal, and
anything else we feel like.
We're also going to jam some tunes, have a drink, and share some honest opinions. Thanks for listening to the Talking Metal Podcast. Let's get things started. Here's an old classic that sounds just as good today as it did when we were kids.
We'll be right back. That is a classic, going back to 1990 when that was released. I think written a number of years before that, but released in 1990, The Obsessed, the song Tombstone Highway. And what an honor, for the first time ever, I believe, we are talking with Wino from The Obsessed on Talking Metal today. Legendary guy when it comes to doom rock, stoner rock, sludge rock. You know, this is one of the dudes. I mean, it goes way back to St. Vitus, his work with them, and of course The Obsessed. Yeah, Wino is legendary. And when you think of bands like like doom metal type stuff, like Trouble, Candlemass, even like Paradise Lost, Caius, of course, Cathedral. I always point back to this guy, man, because he is the man, and definitely one of the guys we have to point to as being highly influential to that genre of hard rock and heavy metal. And what a great dude. I really enjoyed speaking with him and hearing some of the stories. Truly respected by, you know, members of Queens of the Stone Age and Dave Grohl and stuff like that. Wino is the man, and we are talking with him today again on Talking Metal, and we are also talking music festivals because I'm getting geared up for Heavy Montreal this summer. We just got back from M3, the 80s rock festival, and Wino is playing a set of acoustic stuff and stuff by The Obsessed just this coming weekend at a great festival called Monolith on the Mesa, and it is happening in Taos, New Mexico, and it's going to be great, man. They even have their own beer going for this. Let's see who the brewing company is. The Taos Mesa Brewing Company has released a limited edition of a custom beer to celebrate this festival that is happening again this coming weekend. So definitely get out there to check out the festival. Monolith on the Mesa. And there's a lot of great bands playing besides Wino. It is happening again at 20 ABC Road in El Prado, New Mexico. So definitely check it out. Stone Deaf, Lord Buffalo, Green Druid, Spirit Mother. Of course, The Obsessed. Wino again doing an acoustic set. Devil's Throne. The bands just go on and on and on. Pinkish Black, Weed, Castle, Dead Meadow, a lot of great bands playing at this festival. So be sure to go check the festival out. And again, it is happening May 17th and 18th in New Mexico. So yeah, great stuff. So without further ado, let's get into some Probot. Probot is Dave Grohl's metal record that he put out a while ago. It was awesome. I loved it. Quite a while ago at this point. I got to check when that came out. Definitely well over a decade ago. And yeah, man, and Wino was on this. So let's hear a little Dave Grohl and Wino with the song The Emerald Law by Probot. Pick this up on iTunes or Amazon Music or wherever. And definitely support Wino with everything he's doing with The Obsessed and his acoustic stuff. And so a little Probot here on Talking Metal, followed by my interview with the legendary guitarist Wino.
Love. Ever we have on the phone Wino, how are you, man?
I'm good. What's happening?
Well, I'm excited to talk to you, and it sounds like you got a great festival coming up, a great appearance that you're doing an acoustic set at, and also the Obsessed is playing a set. It's Monolith on the Mesa, and it takes place real soon, just next week, May 17th and 18th in New Mexico. It's a great lineup. Can we talk a little bit about the festival? Were you involved at all in helping pick the bands, or is it just you're performing at the festival?
I'm just performing, but, you know, we know the guys that are putting it together. And I don't know if this is the first year or not, but I haven't been yet, but it sounds like it's going to be off the charts. I mean, it seems like it's kind of a... you know, a modern setting with the, I guess they call it Earthship.
Yep.
Structure that's made like an echo structure that has the, you know, the greenhouse built in with the living quarters of a soul. So yeah, I think it's going to be pretty interesting, actually.
Yeah, it should be. The lineup is great. Dead Meadow, Pinkish Black, Eye, Weed.
Yeah.
Of course, you're doing an acoustic set.
Yeah.
But then you're also playing full-on electric too, right?
Right, yeah. Friday night, I guess it is, the 17th, I'm playing acoustic. And then Saturday night, we're playing electric. So I'm playing acoustic inside, and we're playing electric outside. So I guess there's two stages, I guess. And a lot of good bands.
Yeah, definitely. Monolith on the Mesa. And then I guess after that, it looks like you guys are doing some pretty extensive touring in Europe for what, like the rest of the year, at least through the fall, right?
Yeah, it's going to go all the way till December, I think, now. But we have, you know, a few small breaks in between. But, you know, now's the time to hit it. We haven't been to Europe in a while, and I think now's the time. I think it should be a lot of fun. It'll be a lot of work, a lot of fun, you know.
Absolutely.
Get the music out to like as many people as possible, you know? And,
And for...
I think this festival is a good little jump. Go ahead.
And for the fan base for the Obsessed over in Europe versus North America, is it the same kind of vibe, or do you get a different type of person, maybe? How do the fans compare between North America and Europe?
They actually kind of got it a little bit quicker.
Yeah.
Like, I remember when St. Vitus was, you know, when I joined St. Vitus, it was like... 85 or something like that. And, you know, we were drawing like, 50, 75 people, you know, these places in L.A., the Anti-Club or whatever, because, you know, we were pretty underground. At that time, you know, Soundgarden was still in SSC. We played with them. We played with the Mentors, you know, drawing like, you know, maybe 100 people. Okay, then we get this offer to go to Europe, and I guess what it was promotion company that wanted to bring the band over, and you know, we didn't have any releases over there at the time. We were kind of waiting on our SSC release, and we went over there, and we were just kind of blown away, actually, at how, A, many people showed up to see you, how the scene was a lot bigger, and how actually you treated, you know, people really, you know, they cared over there, it seemed like, and, you know, they had some pretty elaborate pretty nice, you know, meals and stuff like that. It's a little bit different than the U.S. We're kind of used to just kind of clawing it out, you know?
Right,
it's pretty
right.
It's a little bit different over there. I mean, they take the music real seriously. I mean, they take, you know, you don't run out of beer, let's put it that way.
right on. Cool. And you, The Obsessed, released a new album for the first time in really over 20 years and decades back in 2017. And that was Sacred, of course. Is there any talk of doing another album at some point, or is it way too early for that?
Well, we're definitely going to do another record. We'd like to do it on Relapse. We'll see what happens. I'm going to do another acoustic record, too.
Cool.
It looks like. So we're staying pretty busy. I mean, in the time lapse that we had, you know, before we put out the last Obsessed record, you know, I did a lot of stuff.
Right.
So I stayed pretty busy. And, you know, it's just really cool, man. I've seen the fan base seems to, you know, getting a little bit bigger. And, I'm excited to see some folks, play some music.
Yeah, I mean, to me, like, and correct me if I'm wrong, but in certain circles, it seems like the music of The Obsessed, especially, you know, going back to those first two records, it's almost grown in like cult status through the years. I see the same thing with like Caius too, where there's so much interest in it now. Is it safe to say maybe even more than when you guys were actually out doing it back then, or is that taking it a little too far?
Well, I think in the case of Caius and Sleep, it's not taking it too far. I mean, they put out a couple of records and had a major resurgence. Where now, you know, Sleep is, you know, doing really, really well. I think Caius, they attempted, you know, they became huge. You know, Queens of Stone Age was a spinoff of that and everything. But I think that they became, they tried to put the Caius together, but I think because of all the legal factors, you know, that they couldn't do that. But again, they were huge, like, after the fact, you know. So, I don't know. You know, I like to let the music talk, you know.
Right.
I think that people starting to catch on. I really got to attribute the whole kind of kickstart the genre some years ago, though, with, Kazik. Because his label, Kazik jump-started the whole, like, so-called stoner rock thing. Kind of brought the emphasis on heavy music back, you know. And, it's pretty cool.
Right on. And next year, believe it or not, will be the 30th anniversary of the self-titled, the Purple album, as a lot of us call it. How do you look back on that, A? And B, do you go back and listen to that album much?
Dude, I do listen to that record. I think that record is probably like number one for me, because that's at the point when we were like, you know, we were super hungry. You know, we hadn't really played that much and, we hadn't toured ever, you know. We were super hungry. We got a deal with Metal Blade, and that turned into he sort of cut our throats, because the deal was the time that, like, you know, you get one song on his compilation record, Metal Massacre, and then you get a full length, right?
Right.
So we paid for the full length on our own dime, and you know, right at the when the compilation hit, that's when thrash hit. Like, all of a sudden, thrash hit. Like, on that same compilation, Metal Massacre 6 is like the debut of, like, Nasty Savage, you know, The Possessed, a whole bunch of these thrash bands. You know, Slayer had just hit it. So, basically, you know, the label decided that we were, like, a little too dated. So
right.
They didn't give us the full length. So I carried this face around with me, and eventually I talked to German Cats, who ran the label that Vitus had jumped to, the same production company that Germans brought us over, eventually put out a record for us. And then I got them to put out the Purple record. I actually carried the tapes overseas and, you know, for being X-rayed and stuff, you know, it's pretty crazy. But that's what turned out to be the Purple record. And so that record, first, the OG version, and of course, we released it. But yeah, man, I think some of my best playing, you know, the band was tight. You know, production was pretty wild. Like, I found this guy that was sort of like my guitar care guy. It turns out that he had some great ears, and we did a lot of records, actually.
Right on, right on. And you know, you mentioned your legendary
band. That's pretty much the story.
So why don't you mention your legendary band, Saint Vitus, great band that really has again become a historic part of heavy rock and hard rock history. Question: There's this bar out in Brooklyn, New York, not far from where I live, that we go to, called Saint Vitus. Are you aware of the bar? And do you have any story about the bar taking basically your band's name?
Well, yeah, I'm aware of the bar. I've actually played there quite a few times. I know those cats. It's a really great story, you know. A couple friends, you know, kind of realizing their dream, you know, but putting it together to get that bar. Actually, St. Vitus is really kind of it's actually the name of a disease. St. Vitus dance,
right,
is, I guess, the name for, like, chorea, you know, this kind of muscle, involuntary muscle movement type ailment. But, yeah, I played there a bunch of times, and I think what it was, I think that they told me they picked the name at random, I think. I mean, I don't think they named after the band. Of course, they knew the band, you know, they liked the band. But if I'm not mistaken, it was kind of a weird stroke of randomness, I think. I'm pretty sure that's what they told me.
Wow, okay.
I mean, you know, Jay, we would let them use it anyways. I mean, it's not, wouldn't be in our place to not let them use it or even have a say in it because, you know, it's the community and all that shit. And I don't know if they, you know, actually copyrighted the name or not, but
right.
Whatever it is, I'll say something right now that the St. Vitus spirit, like, did actually exist, actually. Like, used to, like, kind of inhabit David's house, and whenever he had problems or serious shit would come up, he would call on the spirit, actually. And, you know, it's pretty amazing stuff. I witnessed it one time, actually.
Really? Wow. He'd call on the spirit.
He said, he told me, he said, a friend of ours was a friend of ours got kind of sick and was asked to be taken to the hospital. And David walked in and goes, "You're going to be all right. No one dies in this house. The spirit of St. Vitus is with you." He put his hand, on the dude. I'm not kidding at all. And the guy, like, pulled right out of it and went to sleep and was basically like, I mean, he wasn't an ailment that needed to be cured. But he was fixed up, let's put it that way.
Wow.
Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. That's crazy.
So,
yeah, we were talking about Caius earlier. A number of years ago, you were doing some work with Nick Oliveri in Royal Demons, right? Have you heard from Nick lately?
Yeah, that was me and him and Joey Castillo. And, you know, that was just like something that we got together kind of in a burst of, you know, beautiful spontaneity. It was actually really good. But, you know, Joey at the time was super busy. He was with Scott Weiland, and you know, that band, Scott Weiland band, I went through some turmoil. I think like two members died, and you know, so it was Joey was in that time period. Joey was super busy, so we never did really record. We recorded a couple demos, and you know, we did that article in Vice, and that's about it. But I mean, that's still possibly on the horizon. Me and Nick just got together and jammed a song in Berlin a couple days ago, actually about a week ago. Whenever we're, you know, we're, cool. We're old friends. He's touring in Europe a lot, so whenever we ran into each other, we always like usually jam a song like "Rock and Roll Outlaw" by Rose Tattoo or Iron Horse or something like that. You know,
right on.
But yeah, I was up, man. He's like my favorite maniac. You know, like I dug the lineup of Caius when, you know, he was in the band, like the OG lineup. You know,
absolutely, and of course Scott, who was in the Obsessed, Scott Reeder, ended up taking over for Nick and Caius. Any memories of working with Scott back in 1992 or Lunar Womb?
Man, I can tell you, the German label called High Roller just did a really nice re-release of Lunar Womb. It's on disc and vinyl. And Greg Rogers, the drummer, managed to dig up like some brand new pictures or old pictures from the actual sessions. So we used some of those pictures on the inside sleeve of the original Lunar Womb. Is like a collage. Bunch of pictures, right? Well, we found a whole bunch more new ones from that same period, like even in the studio. And, you know, gave all this to the German guys, and I wrote like a really lengthy liner note telling the whole story. So that's where you want, if you want to read the story, that's the story. I mean, Scotty worked his way down in recording because he actually got his first job at a Synclavier studio. And that's like a kind of like a sort of a Mellotron synthesizer trip that kind of has sound effects in it. So basically you would program out a... you program out your music or a jingle or something like that, and then you play it with keys, and that was a Synclavier. They used it a lot in, you know, in the, I guess in the 80s and 90s.
Wow.
But so he never really mic'd an amp yet, right? Like he started up with the St. Clavier and like has worked his way down to like actually, you know, mic and amps and stuff. And one night he snuck us in there, and we had we just kind of scooped together wherever we could. I think I was playing through an SVT cabinet with a guitar, and we had a pretty on the fly setup, and we recorded our first two professional songs that became on the Hellhound compilation. What the Hell, it's called What the Hell, and we did a version of Slybone and we did a version of Spirit Caravan. And actually, when I look at that stuff now, it's pretty mind blowing. Actually, it's, I think it's pretty well produced for what it was, you know.
Right. Absolutely. So the Lunar Womb. You said it's a reissue, and where could people find it? Is it on Amazon or like what's the best?
You might be able to find it as an import right now.
Okay.
It's like they sent me like a couple boxes of them, and basically it's in both CDs. The label's called High Roller, and it's a CD and on vinyl too.
Oh wow! Cool.
Just play. Yeah, playing like money. If I'm going to see you, am I going to see you at Monolith?
I won't be able to make it out. I'm East Coast based, so unfortunately, I'm not going to get out there. But yeah, no.
I might be able to mail you one. You know, if you give me your address at the end of the interview.
Yeah, I'd love that. I'd love that.
Okay.
Awesome.
Cool.
Thanks, Juan. And just a couple more questions, then I'll let you go. I was a big fan of Dave Grohl's Probot.
Yeah.
Project a number of years back, I guess, well, probably like what, 10, 15 years ago at this point. That, and you were a big part of that because you played on a song, and then I also saw you in the video with Lemmy for Shake Your Blood, and the Suicide Girls, of course. Any memories of working on that music video and also on the song Emerald Law for the Probot Project with Dave Grohl?
Oh, yeah. I remember all that stuff. Those are all like pretty wild stories. You know, the Probot story, the Probot thing was pretty wild, but as, you know, Foo Fighters also recorded a version of Iron Stone, which is an obsessed song, and basically they did a cover of Pink Floyd, Have a Cigar, Iron Stone on the B-side of the Learn to Fly single in Asia, I think it was.
Right.
You know, we never really got a shit together with our publishing because, you know, there's some dispute with the original bass player who wrote the lyrics and all this and that, but that was like the first thing we did, and then, you know, when he did Probot, and for Probot, man, he already had that song. Basically, he had written these little music for most of those songs with the singer that he was going to ask to sing and write words in mind. And so basically, he wrote the music out and then sent it to everybody, myself included, and right up my alley, man. The music is fantastic. It's like I just happened to be reading this some Babylonian. I was reading some Zechariah Sitkin, actually. He was talking about some, you know, ancient Babylonian stuff. Because he's an actual biblical scholar, right? So he's one of the only people that can translate cuneiform. So I was reading this Babylonian book, and there's a beautiful poem in there. I mean, this is real, real period shit that's been translated, you know, off a fucking stone stella, you know? And basically, that's what I put at the very beginning, because it's just, it needed something that's very head, you know? It was just so perfect. I just remember, like, well, I fucking opened that book, and I was like, oh, man, I'm going to use this poem at the beginning, you know? I'm getting chills when I think about it. But yeah, that was a lot of fun, man. That was a lot of fun. And then we actually did one more video too. Like we did a version with Eric Wagner of his song on that record, where I played guitar. Greg Anderson played guitar from Sun O. The engineer played bass, girl on drums, obviously, and Wagner singing. And we did a version of My Church for Soul. Actually, it was on MTV. Two or something, and we were interviewed by Jamie Johnson. That was really fun.
Okay,
because a lot, what had happened, like a lot of people came down from the Probot thing. You know, David flew, he flew Snake from Voivod in, and he flew Wagner in, and then you know, I came in, and basically we went around the next day and did a whole bunch of press, like this whole gang of people, which is like a whole other story. I mean, it's like story after story after story, but yeah, but that's how it went down. And then after that, we did the Shake Your Blood, which was just fully crazy, man. You know, it was really cool getting to get a little interaction with Lemmy and stuff, you know. In fact, you know, he was, that's a pretty long time ago, and he was like pretty chipper and fucking, you know, normal Lemmy.
It's awesome.
A lot of fun, man. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
I mean, yeah, the music video just, it reeks of fun, you know. It's just you guys rocking out and the girls and stuff. It's great stuff.
It was pretty trippy, man. I will say that. It was pretty trippy being, you know, surrounded by all those girls, you know. Yeah. Pretty interesting.
Right on, man. Cool. Well, again, we really thank you for your time today, and we want to remind people about the Monolith on the Mesa Festival, which is taking place again May 17th and 18th, and we'll have all the info up in today's show notes on talkingmetal.com and talkingrock.net. And Wino, what a history you've had, man, and thank you for all the great music throughout the years.
Man, thank you very much. It's what I do. I just want to play, and hopefully I'll see everybody soon. Thanks again, man.
Sun hides and winter winds wail. The perfect ship, fully equipped with everything but the sails. I worship the strong power of song, the lifestyle demanded I choose. Accepted the quest, climbed to the crest, and from the top I saw you. I thought that I had a license to fly. Shook his hand and I looked in his eye. To my dismay, I was betrayed, and my fortunes have turned into lies. Harder it seems, wisdom of age as a tool. But I wouldn't trade one single day. Because of the storm I found you. Drifts where the summer light beams. The morning dawns, the mast it stands strong, and the sails are spun from our dreams. Ooh. The sails are spun from our dreams.
All right, big thanks to Wino for joining us here on Talking Metal. That, of course, is the song Adrift from 2011, some acoustic stuff, great stuff. Wino, legendary guitarist and vocalist. What an honor to have him here on the podcast with me today. So let's jam some other stuff, man. We're all over the musical map. Let's check this one out. This is a new Revenge featuring my friend James Kotek on drums. This is called The Distance Between.
Leave them chucking in the deep end. I can't be the only
little new revenge here on Talking Metal. And as I mentioned, we just got back from M3. I'm posting a lot of our interviews on the YouTube channel. It's youtube.com/talkingmetal with all our favorite 80s bands like Kingdom Come, which I just posted yesterday. So go visit that to check out the videos, or simply go to talkingrock.net or talkingmetal.com. Also, we'll get you there. And yeah, man, so you got the festival that Wino's doing, Monolith on the Mesa, this weekend. We had M3 two weekends ago, right? Or about a week and a half ago. M3 was great. Two great festivals. And a third festival that I am so psyched for this summer is Heavy Montreal, Ghost, Slash, and dozens of others. It's going to be absolutely incredible. I cannot wait. Emily and I are tentatively planning to head up there, and I wanted to let you know that we are going to give some tickets away. Let's have you guys go to heavymontreal.com/talkingmetal and get tickets. Free tickets for Heavy Montreal. Do it. Do it right now. We're giving away a lot of tickets. And don't be afraid. When you click on the link, it's like in French, but if you scroll down, then it's in English. And yeah, we're giving passes to the whole freaking weekend. It's absolutely amazing. All you got to do. I mean, it's crazy. This is free. This is like worth hundreds of dollars. Of course, you got to get to Montreal. But yeah, two general admission festival passes. Just go to that address that I just said, which again is heavymontreal.com/talkingmetal. I'll have it linked through today's show notes on the website. And that's going to, I think, do it for today. Maybe I'll squeeze in one more. What do we got here? Everyone's like telling me to play stuff. This is Emily's friend's band. It's called The Infection. And this song to take us out is called Here We Go. Again, The Infection, Here We Go on Talking Metal. And we'll talk to you next time. Go get those Heavy Montreal tickets. They're free!
Yes, I see it's finally come to pass.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.